Thank you again to our brother Nigel for coming and singing. And we trust the Lord will bless that message to every heart. Praise God. We have a God in heaven who loves us, who cares for us, who knows our every need and can meet our needs day by day. We thank our brother for coming and trust the Lord will bless him and use him as he would sing for the Lord as the Lord leads and guides him day by day. Now we're going to turn again, please, to that passage of Scripture that we read from earlier this evening, to Micah, the chapter number 7. And perhaps just with God's Word open before us, let us unite our hearts, please, in a short word of prayer. And just pray for help tonight in the preaching of His Word. Pray that God would speak to your heart, speak to all our hearts, and that we might know and hear the voice of the Lord. Father, we just thank Thee for Thy presence with us already in the gathering tonight. We thank Thee for the hymns of Zion. We thank Thee for the ministry and song. And we thank Thee that we have a God in heaven who knows our need, who cares for us even more than the very flowers of the field. And Father, we thank Thee, O God, that Thou art the God of grace, Thou art the God of salvation, and that Thou art the one who is able to save and to keep unto life eternal. Lord, just bless us now as we turn to Thy precious Word. O Lord, settle us in Thy presence, O God, tonight. Take away distracting thoughts and cares that are not of Thee. Bless Thy Word and Thy truth to every heart and to every soul. Bless it to the blessing of Your people and to the salvation of sinners and to the glorifying of Christ. In His precious name, O God, we do pray and do ask all these things. Amen and amen. Now our text for this evening is that question put by Micah the prophet that you find at the beginning of the verse number 18 of the chapter. Let me just read that question with you again. It simply says, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? As Micah would bring his prophecy to a close, he laments the wickedness of the age in which he lived, in which he ministered. Notice how he refers to that in verse 2 at the beginning of the chapter. He says, the good man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net. But along with this, he also encourages God's people to confide in the Lord. And this he does by way of his own example in the day and age in which he lived. For notice what Micah says in verse 7 of this chapter. He says, therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. And there he reminds God's people of the goodness and the grace of God. For he himself says, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Following on from this, in the rest of the chapter, Micah seeks to remind God's people of the blessings of God's goodness and God's mercy upon them. And one of the great blessings that he sets before them is the fact that God is one who forgives sins. And why this chiefest of blessings is highlighted by the question that is found in our text this evening at the beginning of verse 18. When he says, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? By these words, Micah reminded the people of his day that no one, or indeed nothing, could compare with God's forgiveness. And his extolling of this blessing further, Micah then goes on to show the true nature and the true meaning of God's forgiveness in the latter part of verse 18 and the verse 19 of the chapter. When he goes on to speak further of God and his forgiveness, he says in verse 18, of God who passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And thou wilt cast all their sins into the depth of the sea. What a meaning, what a description of the forgiveness of God. Indeed, emphasizing this very same truth, the hymn writer says, who is a pardoning God like thee? Or who has grace so rich and free? And tonight, friends, it is this great truth of a forgiving God that I want us to consider. I wonder tonight what your view of God is, what your mindset of God is. Well, I want to set before you tonight this great truth that our God is one who forgives sins. And friend, understand this, that if you and I are to be right with God, if you and I are to be sure of heaven, then we must know the forgiveness of our sins by Almighty God. And as we would consider this great truth tonight, that God is a forgiving God, the three things that I want you to note just in connection with our text and this subject this evening. First of all, I want you to see here the implication of God's forgiveness. Think of our text that says, "Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity?" This is a question that implies the reality of sin. The very fact that Micah utters this statement, it implies to you and I the reality of sin. The fact that Micah asks this question regarding God's forgiveness, it shows to you and I that sin is real, that sin is certain, that sin is sure. Sadly, there are many tonight, and they will deny the fact that man is a sinner by nature and by practice. Well, in this world, there is no escape from this awful reality of sin. And our text reminds us that this is so tonight. And this is the consistent testimony of God's Word, that man in this world is beset with sin, and that sin is a reality. It is something that is sure, and that it is certain. You turn over to the New Testament, please, to Romans chapter number 3, and you'll see that very clearly set before you there by the words of the Apostle Paul as he speaks about mankind. Look at what he says in verse number 12 of Romans chapter 3. He says, "They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, and no, not one." Look at verse 19. He says, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God." What is all the world guilty of before God? All the world before God is guilty of sin. Look at the latter part of verse number 22 and the beginning of verse number 23. It says, "For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And there the testimony of Scripture proves to you and I the reality, the certainty of sin. Oh friend, in our meeting tonight, if you and I look into our hearts, what do we see? We see sin. We see corruption. The prophet Jeremiah says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. This is our hearts by nature, desperately wicked in the sight of God. And likewise, if we look around us tonight, if we look out into the world, and if you listen to the news, you read the reports in the papers, my, you will see that this world is a place that is full of sin. Sin is a reality that men and women have to deal with day by day in this world. Aye, the Apostle Paul, again speaking of this world, he describes it as this present evil world. That's because of sin. Think of what you hear in the news, murder, theft and deceit, the desecration of the Lord's day, immorality of every kind, and it's all a testimony to this fact that sin is real, that sin is certain. And my, this world is a crooked place, it is a perverse place, and that's because of the reality of sin. Oh, as you ponder tonight this great question in our text, "Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity?" It reminds you and I of the reality of sin. Yes, the implication here is that sin is reality, but something else. This question also implies to us not only the reality of sin, but it implies God's intervention to deliver man from his sin. Our text says, "Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity?" And this very fact here that is stated in our text, that God pardons iniquity, it shows to us that God has intervened in mercy. God has intervened in grace to make a way whereby man can be delivered
from the awful ruin and the awful calamity of his sin. Friend, in this life and in this world, yes, you and I receive many wonderful blessings from God. And day by day, our health is a blessing from God, our strength, our food on our tables, our homes, our families, our jobs. These are all tokens of the mercies of God and the goodness of God. And why we all owe the blessings that we have in life to God. They all are because of God's merciful intervention in His kind providence toward us. Why, whenever Paul was speaking to the people in Mars Hill, he spoke of God's goodness and blessing to them. He says, of God and Him we live and move and have our being. James tells us that every good gift is from above. How many blessings does God not give to you and I? The Bible says His compassions, they fail not. His mercies are new every morning. Great is the faithfulness of God to us day by day. Now, if you and I were to take stock tonight, we could not count up the blessings and the mercies of God to us. But my friend, tonight I want to say to you the greatest mercy, the greatest blessing that you can know and can enjoy the sight of eternity is to know your sins forgiven by God. That's the greatest of all blessings. And why the psalmist David rejoiced in this mercy in his own life. For speaking in Psalm 103, he could say, bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. He was rejoicing in the forgiveness of his sins. Also, the handwriter could rejoice in that same forgiveness in their own life. They said of God, mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. They were rejoicing in the forgiveness of their sins. And praise God tonight because of God's intervening power and grace and mercy in this world. Friend, at our meeting tonight, no matter who you are, no matter what your background is, you too can experience the forgiveness of your sins by God Almighty. Oh, the implication of this text, the reality of sin. God's intervening grace and mercy to forgive our sins. But secondly, tonight as we think a little further upon our text, I want you to see not only the implication here of God's forgiveness, but the comfort of God's forgiveness. Our text says, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? And the comfort here of God's forgiveness, it means deliverance from the sad consequences and the fruit and the outcome of your life of sin. And my, what are the consequences of sin? My, the reality of sin, it means that man has no natural power himself to do good. Think of what Isaiah said of man. He said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The reality of sin also means that man by nature is separated from God. The Bible says the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. The reality of sin also means that man has no peace with God. The Bible says the wicked are like the troubled sea. And you go to the coast and look at the sea, it never rests. The tide is continually ebbing and flowing. Also, the reality of sin means that man is sentenced to die. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And my husband said, one out of one dies, and should the coming of the Lord tarry, you and all, I, every one of us in this meeting, will one day have to face death. We'll have to deal with death. And that's the fruit of sin. The wages of sin is death. And also the reality of sin means that man is condemned to a lost eternity in hell because of his sin. The psalmist says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. And by this awful reality of sin also means that man lives in a world that is full of pain and full of suffering. Listen to what Paul says about this world in Romans chapter 8. He says, for the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain. And there he's speaking of the effects of the fall of man and the sin of man upon the entire world that God has created. And because of this awful reality of sin, man day by day has to deal with pain and suffering and heartache of the deepest kind in this world and in the scene of time. This year's the 100th anniversary of World War I. What an awful time that was upon this world. My, an awful slaying of men. Before that, people thought the world was somehow getting better. But that ended that line. I think of what's going on at the present time out in Iraq and Syria and all the troubles and the wars that are going on in the world. It's all because of the reality of sin. The certainty of sin. Well, for those whom God forgives, there is deliverance. My, from these awful consequences of sin. My, such are brought into a state of peace with God. Look at what the prophet says there in verse number 18 regarding such who are forgiven. He says of God toward them, He retaineth not His anger forever. That means that such are brought into a state of peace with God. My, those whom God forgives, they know the forgiveness of all of their sins. Not just one or two of their sins, but all of their sins. Look at what the prophet says at the end of verse number 19. He says, And thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. My, unlike the shallows, the depths of the sea is a place where nothing can be found. And what's the prophet there telling us and showing us? That when God forgives, He forgives fully. He forgives abundantly. He forgives eternally. He forgives completely. Also, those who are forgiven by God, such are brought into a state of fellowship with God. Look again at what the prophet says at the beginning of verse 19 regarding such whom He forgives. He says, He will turn again. He's speaking of God. He will have compassion on us. Those who are forgiven by God are brought into a place of fellowship with God. Also, for such who are forgiven by God, such can partake and have a right to the promises of God to all of His people. Notice again how the prophet refers to that in the very final verse of the chapter. Speaking here of the fulfillment and the promises of God to His people, he says, Thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob. And the mercy to Abraham, which Thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. And that verse teaches us that when God saves a man or saves a woman, no matter who that person is, they have a right, they have an entitlement to all the promises of God in the Bible, in the Word of God. They are theirs to claim. Also, my, whenever God forgives a person, my, they can look forward to the eternal rest of heaven. They are delivered one day with the coming of Christ and the entrance into glory from all the pain and all the suffering and all the heartache of this world and the sinful place. The Bible says there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. There is eternal life, eternal rest, eternal glory for those whom God forgives. And one day the child of God will leave behind all the pain, all the suffering, all the heartache, all the turmoil of this evil world. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke of the blessing of heaven to His people in John 14. And He said, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Psalmist spoke of heaven, and he said, And heaven is the place of fullness of joy, the place where there's pleasures forevermore at the right hand of God. And the Christian will one day say goodbye to all the pain, all the suffering, all the turmoil of this evil and ungodly world. And then also for those whom God forgives, there is abundant life in their Christian life to live for God and to overcome the dominion and the sway of sin. For look at what the Lord promises to those whom He forgives and saves there. In the middle of verse number 19, the prophet says, He will subdue our iniquities. And that speaks of power and grace to live the Christian life. To live for God's honor and glory. day by day. Oh, think of these blessings. Think of the comfort of God's forgiveness. Is it any wonder the prophet Micah asked the question, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? Oh, friend, in our meeting tonight, let me say this. This comfort will be your portion of it as well. You know God's forgiveness of sin in your life. This comfort will be your portion. My, you will know peace with God. You will be brought into a place of a fellowship with God. God will give you grace to live for His honor and glory. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And God will give you a home in heaven, a home in glory. The Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God will forgive your sins and forgive them forever. Turn with me back to the prophecy of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter number 18. And look with me just at the beginning of the verse number 22. Notice here the forgiveness and the wonder of it. And the eternality of it. For those whom God forgives. Verse 22 of Ezekiel chapter 18 says, of those whom God forgives, all his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. That speaks of forgiveness. Speaks of pardon. It speaks of the blotting out of sins before God. My friend, this is the comfort that is offered to you tonight in the gospel. Through God's forgiveness, pardon, peace with God, fellowship with God, grace to live the Christian life, and being saved from the wrath to come. The Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Yes, we see here from our text tonight the implication of God's forgiveness, the comfort of God's forgiveness. But there's one final thought I want to share with you this evening, and it is simply this, the procurement of God's forgiveness. How do we obtain this forgiveness that prophet Micah speaks of in our text? Well, you know, this procurement of God's forgiveness, it really involves three things. On the part of God, it involves the gift and the work of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it is only through the Lord Jesus Christ alone that God bestows this pardon. Listen to the words of Paul in Colossians 1 in the verse number 14, speaking of Christ. He says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. This pardon is bestowed through Christ, through the merits of His shed blood. This is why the Lord Jesus Christ spake of Himself and said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. My Christ came into this world as God manifest in the flesh. He was God incarnate. The Bible says, great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh. And as the sinless Son of God, He perfectly kept the law of God, which we all have broken. He could speak of that law and His relationship to His heavenly Father. And He said in the Gospel of John, I do always those things that please Him. And on that cruel cross of Calvary, what did He do? He offered Himself to God as an atonement for sin. The Bible says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. The Bible says He was delivered for our offenses. And by His person, work, the Lord Jesus Christ, He made a way for you and I to be saved. To have our sins forgiven. To be made right with God. And this is why the prophet Micah could utter the words of our text and say, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? Friend, the gospel tonight is this, that God in love and God in mercy and God in grace sent His only begotten Son, His sinless Son, into this world to be our Redeemer, to pay the price of redemption from sin by His own precious blood. The hymn writer says there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. There was none other good enough to pay the price of sin than the sinless, spotless, flawless Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why God offers pardon tonight. That is why there's pardon offered freely in the gospel. Because Christ has come. And Christ has died upon the cross. Yes, this procurement of God's forgiveness that involves the sending and the giving of God's Son to be your Savior. But also tonight we can say on the part of man, this procurement of God's forgiveness, it involves repentance from sin and faith in Christ. You listen tonight to the message that Christ preached when He was here on earth. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 1 and the verse 15, this was a sermon to the people. He proclaimed this message. He said, "Repent ye and believe the gospel." What is repentance? It is an acknowledgement of sin before God and a willingness to turn from it. Faith means trusting in Christ, trusting and resting in the shed blood of Christ alone for the forgiveness and the pardon of sin. Friend, tonight let me say this is the pathway that you must tread if you are to know God's forgiveness of your sins. You must repent of your sins and believe the gospel. The Bible says, "God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." This is God's command for every one of us if we're to be saved. The Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." With that confession and repentance of sin, you must believe and trust in Christ and in His blood alone to wash away your sins. It has been said that saving faith is resting faith. That trust which relies entirely on the Savior. Tell me, what are you depending upon tonight for the forgiveness of your sins? What are you resting upon to blot out your sins from before Almighty God? Only the blood of Christ can wash away your sins. Friend, have you repented of your sin? Have you acknowledged your state as a sinner before God? Has there been a time in your life's experience when you came to Christ by faith and we trusted Him as your own and personal Savior? The hymn writer says, "The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives." No matter who you are in this meeting tonight, no matter what your sin is, the moment you repent of your sin and trust Christ as your Savior, you shall be saved by God and be forgiven by God. For the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Yes, the procurement of this forgiveness involves the sending, the giving of God's Son. It involves repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But one final thought, and what a thought it is. The procurement of this pardon, yes, it involves God Himself calling and inviting sinners to repent of their sin and to trust in Him for salvation. You notice there what the prophet Micah says about the Lord at the end of verse number 18. He says of the Lord, He delighteth in mercy. God is one who delights in mercy. He delights to be merciful, and such is His delight that He calls you and I to repent of our sins and to trust in the blood of Christ for the forgiveness of our sin. God calls sinners to Himself. My call sinners through the preaching of the gospel, through the proclaiming of His word. Friend, what have you done with that call? Turn with me back to Isaiah chapter number 1. Here you have one example of many examples of God's call to sinners in the Bible. What a beautiful verse of Scripture this is, highlighting the mercy of God and calling sinners to Himself for salvation. Isaiah chapter 1 and the verse number 18. The Lord says, "Come now." Doesn't say, "Come next week or next month or next year." He says, "Come now." And He says, "And let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Unsaved man, woman, young person in our meeting tonight, God called you to repent. He called you to salvation. He says, "Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, it shall be as well. Think again of what we read of the Lord over in the book of the Revelation. He says there, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." Again, that speaks of the Lord calling sinners to himself for salvation. Friend, tonight unsaved, I urge you to listen to God's call. Listen to God's voice. Listen to God's knock at your heart's door. God only wants to do you good. God only wants to bless your soul. My, He is calling you to salvation. He wants you to be saved from your sin. He wants you to be ready for the coming of Christ, ready for death and sure of heaven. Hence, He calls you to repent, to trust in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as Savior. Friend, unsaved tonight, I urge you, come now to Christ. Repent of your sin, trust Him as Savior. And then with Micah the prophet, indeed with the redeemed of all ages, you'll be able to say of God, "Who has a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity?" Micah the prophet was rejoicing in the forgiveness of his sins. It was a dark day in which he lived and labored for God. He had many, many discouragements, but in the midst of it all, he could rejoice in the pardon and in the forgiveness of all of his sins before God. Tell me, friend, tonight, can you rejoice in that same pardon? Can you say, "It's well with my soul"? My sin, not the part, but the whole, has been nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise God, you can. You repent of your sin. You come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. You trust Him as your Savior. God will forgive and pardon your sin. He will save your soul. He will take you one day into God's heaven and into God's glory. We're just going to close our meeting tonight by singing together the hymn number 287. 287, "Depth of mercy can there be? Mercy still reserved for me. Can my God His wrath forbear? Me, the chief of sinners, spare." We'll stand as we sing, and thinking of the words as we sing them. If you're not saved tonight, oh, that you would make this hymn the very prayer of your heart. Look at the final verse. It says, "If I rightly read thy heart, if thou all compassion art, bow thine ear in mercy, by pardon and accept me now." Call upon the Lord. Trust Him as Savior. Know your sins forgiven. 287 will stand as we sing.